Hello and welcome to Press TV's debate. I'm Marcia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, the International Atomic Energy Agency will hold a special session on Wednesday at the request of the United States to discuss Iran's decision to enrich uranium beyond a 3.67% purity limit under the 2015 nuclear deal, following the EU's failure to honor its share of the deal. So the country, which has not abided by the findings of the IAEA for years and left a joint comprehensive plan of action, the U.S., is the one which wants to hold the session. And the country which has abided by the IAEA and has complied with the JCPOA, Iran, is now being asked to explain its actions. What an interesting world, to say the least. Well, stay with us as we take a look at what all of this means on this debate. Before that, let's get an update from Press TV's Homa Liski in Vienna about the reactions to the U.S.'s move and Iran's scale-back decision. Homa, good to have you.
Thank you, Marcy. And well, as you said, the session tomorrow is quite important, the IAEA Board of Governors special meeting. As you said, it's been requested by the United States. And immediately after this request was made and tabled, the Iranian mission here, Iran's ambassador to the IAEA, issued a statement saying that, quote, it is a sad irony that the same country that's the prime violator of the deal that in the first place is now asking for a special session to be held at the Board of Governors to discuss, as you said, how Iran is implementing the JCPOA. Of course, Iran is saying that it is complying by its obligations. The fact that it has taken these steps does not mean it's violating the JCPOA, because it has this right based on Articles 36 and 26 of the JCPOA, first of all. And already we have some reactions concerning this Board of Governors meeting that's going to take place tomorrow in Vienna. For instance, the Russian envoy to the IAEA says, and I'm quoting him, that from the viewpoint of the IAEA mandate, they don't constitute, he means these actions by Iran, don't constitute violations or concern, and that the Board of Governors is not a proper place to consider them. And the Iranian mission here also said, and I'm quoting again, that the recent developments have no connection to safeguards-related issues, which is what the Board usually discusses, and the mandate of the Board of Governors. We even know that the European sides, in response to these measures that have been taken by Iran, have said that this is an issue that needs to be discussed within the context of the JCPOA, meaning by the Joint Commission that discusses how this deal is implemented and what steps need to be taken. As far as Iran is concerned, it's not violating the JCPOA. The IAEA has, for 14 times since the deal was implemented, verified in separate reports that Iran has been committed to the deal. And also, I'd just like to quickly add, this is not something that the Europeans were not anticipating. They knew, and Iran had warned them time and again, that if its conditions are not met, if it's not going to benefit economically from the deal, it is going to take these steps to reduce its commitments gradually based on its rights that have been stipulated in the JCPOA.
Thank you so much, Homa, for that update out of Vienna. That's Press TV's very own Homa Liski. Now, I'd like to welcome our guests to the program, columnist from The Hill, Brent Budowski, out of Washington, D.C., and strategic and security analyst Mark Sloboda, out of Moscow. Thank you both for being with us. Well, let's start this off with Brent and Washington, D.C. Well, Brent, is it a surprise to the Europeans or to the Americans that Iran has cut back on its commitments? After all, the United States has left the JCPOA over a year now, and the Europeans haven't basically come up with any practical alternative plan for going around the sanctions. So your take on that, Brent?
Well, I don't think it was a surprise in the United States. Even though I think it's unfortunate, I do think it was a surprise in Europe. My advice to the government of Iran right now at this moment is to go into these meetings this week and go back into the agreement and honor the agreement, number one. It was a mistake, in my opinion, to break it. It was also a mistake what Trump did. My views on this are no secret. But I think where we are right now, my advice to the government of Iran would be to go back into the agreement and honor it and reverse that mistake. Go to the Europeans and say, you've got to help us help each other and try to enlist the Europeans. Right now, they are in an impossible position in Europe, caught between Trump and the government of Iran. And that's not a good place for them to be. It's not a good place for the Iranians to want Europe to be, and it's not a good place for the United States.
So if it's not a good place, so sorry, Brent, to interrupt you. So if it's not a good place for the Europeans to be, because basically it sounds like you're saying they cannot stand up to the Americans. I mean, we've seen European companies, basically, if they're going to be sanctioned by the United States, if they deal with Iran, then they've said that obviously they're not going to deal with Iran. But you're saying at the same time, even though they're in a difficult place, even though it's not likely they're going to come up with any type of alternative, that Iran should keep its side of the deal, even though the other side is not keeping its side of the deal. Why, Brent? Why should Iran keep its side of the deal?
What I'm saying, my advice to the Iranian side is to say they will keep its side of the deal and not violate it, but then go to the Europeans and say, we need your help to honor it as well, and to go to the United States. And the final point is, if it is true, as I believe it probably is, that Trump has sent messages to the third party countries that he wants to negotiate with Iran, I would go to these meetings, stay within the deal, announce they're going to try to make the deal work, work with the Europeans, and agree to negotiate with Trump, to make every effort. And then when they go into a negotiation with Trump, assuming we ever get that far, they should state what Iran needs to make it work. If the United States make demands, which they will, the Iranians should make demands, which they should, and they should try to come up with an agreement that everybody can agree to.
All right.
Where we're going right
let me get
now
Mark
is insanity.
In on this. Let me get Mark in on this, Brent. Stay with me. Mark, I'm sorry. I'm just reviewing what Brent has said. And basically, it sounds as if what the Iranians should do, again, just keep their part of the bargain, no matter if the other side keeps their part of the bargain or not, and make sure at the same time you go and beg Europe and Washington to please negotiate with Iran again after years and years of negotiating. Your take on all this, Mark?
Yeah, I don't believe that the EU is in a very good position. They've put themselves into this position, though, by their alliance and their agreement to push what I regard as these blackmail sanctions on Iran. As it stands, the U.S. has pulled out of the agreement, and not only are they not fulfilling it, they're doing the exact opposite. They are doing everything they can with illegal unilateral sanctions to try to make the Iranian economy scream. Right, they make the Iranian people suffer and starve. The EU is not able, their commitments, they have economic commitments to Iran under the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action to continue economic trade, to conduct trade with oil, and to allow Iran access to international financial institutions. They cannot do that because they don't have the power to. And they obviously don't have any leverage over the United States. You don't hear the EU calling to sanction the United States over this, right? So I think if the EU was honorable, what they would do is say that they are unable to fulfill their commitments. I think what they are vaguely hoping is simply that Iran will agree to suffer, being the only one to fulfill their commitments to this deal until Trump is out of office, and the vague hope that a new U.S. president, if Trump is not reelected, might return to the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. The only problem for Iran here is that the EU may take the opportunity to get back on the regime change train with the United States, throw their hands up, say they can't do anything with Iran, start blaming Iran as the U.S. has, and then get to some measure behind U.S. military strikes on Iran.
Well, interesting point.
Interesting point that you've just made, Mark. Stay with me. Let me get Brent back in on this conversation.
Mark, stay with me. That was an interesting point that Mark has made, and of course, many looking at the situation and feeling that that is exactly the road that the EU is likely to go down, a very, very familiar road for the EU, that right now, so The United States has basically requested the special meeting now of the IAEA. Iran has to go and basically answer questions about why it has cut back on its commitments. United States does not have to answer those questions. And then at the same time, then the Europeans will scold Iran for not abiding by its commitments, get back on the regime change bandwagon, and basically trying to continue, as they say, with putting pressure on Iran and changing the government. How likely is that scenario, Brent, to happen?
Well, right now, there are no good scenarios that are likely. I'm trying to advocate one. And let me be clear, I'm not suggesting that Iran go and beg anybody for anything. And I'm not suggesting that Iran say, we'll be the only one to honor the agreement. What I am suggesting is that the Iranians go into these meetings and say, we are willing, say for 90 days, to go back fully into the agreement, and we are asking Europe to back us.
Why
We're
should
asking
they,
Europe
Brent,
to go to the United
Brent,
States.
Sorry to interrupt you. Why should the Iranians do that when they have just come out of years and years of negotiating and also signed an agreement with several countries all over the world, the agreement stamped and set, and of course, in the United States, reneged. So why should the Iranians go back and sit down with the Americans, who were the ones that destroyed the original agreement?
Oh, look, let me tell you, I'm a Democrat, and I'm well aware of the problems of negotiating with Trump. We go through this by the hour as Democrats trying to work through this. The reason, though, that I would hope the government of Iran would consider what I'm suggesting is because that's the smartest and best move for the people and government of Iran. We're in a very dangerous place right now. There should not be one more attack on an oil tanker by anybody. There should not be one more explosive put on an oil tanker. Heaven help everybody. If one American gets killed, even if it's by a stupid accident or a renegade, that raises major dangers that we should not accept. There's no reason that the Iranians can't say, we're going to go back into the agreement for 90 days, we're going to challenge the Europeans to stand up for the agreement and with the United States and to urge them to come up with a solution that's good for the people of Iran, the people of Europe, and the people of the United States. The alternative, I fear, is a tragedy that will hurt everybody. War hurts everybody. And finally, briefly, there is an obvious debate in the United States within the Trump administration between certain people like John Bolton, who cannot negotiate with anybody over this, and other people, including some in the military and including some in the diplomatic corps, who don't like the current policy. They see the same problems that I see, and they would like to find a way out. And you've got to strengthen the hand of those in Europe and in the United States who want a rational and decent outcome. So the reason they should try this is there's no better way. And if they don't, I worry gravely about the dangers that are coming to everybody. And if there's any kind of a military conflict, I promise everybody loses at the same time. So everybody should come to their senses right now. And the Iranians should make that move and offer diplomacy.
Okay.
For those that don't want to negotiate with Trump within Iran, mm-hmm. go back and look at what Trump said about North Korea when he was virtually declaring war. And now we're negotiating.
All right, let me get Mark back in on this conversation. I mean, there was a whole lot there in Brent's comments. He mentioned if one American gets killed, then the whole thing will blow up. It's very interesting. It seems like a very hegemonic perspective because, of course, and also he talked about the possibility of war and how dangerous that would be. When the United States have been waging economic war for years against the Iranian nation, and, of course, speaking about one American being killed, and of course, we've seen many Iranians be killed in different ways. And one of them right now, we will talk about even a whole situation with medicine and that whole financial fiasco and not being able even to get the critical medicines, although the Europeans say they are trying to provide a way. But what makes it the bottom line, Mark? Isn't that the root of the problem? It is that the United States has a superior perspective, looking down on other nations as if they are inferior. When you go to the table with that kind of perspective, there is no way that you can actually negotiate a deal that is basically win-win because you think that you are superior. Your take, Mark. Okay, it seems like we're having problems out of Moscow with that connection. What about that, Brent? I'll throw that to you then. Can it be a win-win deal when, in general, the Americans have this superior perspective even coming to the table, and especially dealing with a nation like the Islamic Republic of Iran?
Well, and what I said earlier, if you're talking about negotiating with John Bolton, there will be no win-win deal for anybody. It'll be a lose-lose deal for everybody. But he's not the only person advising Trump, and Trump is not the only player in the United States. And we have to deal, as Americans, with Europeans, with NATO and with the European Union. And there are arguments and pressures on the side of responding favorably if the Iranians choose the kind of path that I'm suggesting. I'm not predicting they will respond favorably. I'm saying they could. It's possible. And when you have one road that leads to war, that becomes certain if there's never going to be a negotiation, and there's another road that could lead to a win-win outcome, I think you try the outcome that could be favorable. I think you go to Europe and you say, and the Iranians have a right to be unhappy with Europe, but Europe also has a right to be unhappy with the United States. Read what the British ambassador in Washington recently said, and that's what they all think. That's what many Americans think. That's what many Republicans think. They're just too cowardly to say it in the United States. So you have to call it give peace a chance, not because it'll be easy, it'll be hard, but because there's no better way, and the alternative is very bad for everybody.
When is enough enough, Brent? Brent, let me ask you something. When is enough enough? When is the line drawn, you think, for a sovereign nation that has been under pressure, of course, for 40 years now, since 1979 and the revolution? Of course, the United States has said time and time again, Democrat, Republican, administration after administration, that actually the goal was regime change in Tehran. So then the Iranians sit down with the international community, negotiate a deal, sign a deal, allegedly win-win for both sides. But at the end of the day, we see the deal was basically, it's null and void from the side of the Americans right now. And the Europeans are basically so-so. It was just the Iranians keeping their side of the deal. So once again, then, another American president comes and says, you have to come and negotiate with us. Why? When do you think that the line should be drawn for a sovereign nation not to basically be played with a nation that basically see itself as superior to the rest?
Well, first of all, remember, President Obama and Secretary of State John Kerry worked with President Rouhani and Zarif to reach the nuclear agreement. They made an honest effort to come up with an agreement that would work. It's
and
not
they
all
also
American
increased,
presidents
I'm so
are the
sorry,
same.
But at the same time, they also increased sanctions. Sanctions were also increased under the Obama administration. As I said, Democrats and Republicans across the board has continued to, as a matter of fact, increase sanctions against Iran. So the question is, why? Why should Iran then negotiate with another American administration?
Well, there are things that Iran does that are a problem for most Americans, including myself. There are things that the United States does that I don't agree with at times, and that are problems that Iran has a right to complain about. I don't promise any kind of easy outcome, but what I'm saying is, what you want to do is de-escalate the tensions, maximize the leverage for those of us in all these countries who want a nuclear agreement, who want to avoid war, who want diplomacy to work, and make that effort, not because it's easy. And yeah, there are valid arguments on all sides. The problem, though, is we are where we are, and the danger is what the danger is. It's a dangerous situation. There are people in the United States and in the Trump administration who don't want to go where John Bolton wants Trump to go. That is a fact. Who prevails in the Trump administration, I don't know. But you make the effort. There's nothing to be lost by making that effort. I don't want hegemony. I want peace, and I want a better life for the people in all of these countries.
Sounds great. Sounds like a great slogan, Brent. I wish it could work out. Thanks so much for being with us, Brent Podolsky, columnist from The Hill, Washington, D.C., and Mark Sloboda, who we had earlier, strategic and security analyst out of Moscow. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us on another debate. I'm Marcia Hashemi, signing out for myself and all the crew right here in Tehran. Thanks so much. See you next time.